Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got a part in this movie, Heartburn, starring Meryl Streep.
Of course.
And at the wrap party, they had, you know, a bunch of stuff running on some monitors around the room. And they had a clip of me playing Meryl Streep. And she, of a great sense of humor, came up to me and said, "I saw what you did to me."
Somebody going to cue me, or do I cue myself?
Cue yourself.
Okay. Hey, everyone. We are back with the season premiere of season two, yes, of Let's Talk, yes, Off Camera. Yes, let's get talking. Hey, guess what? Seth just said yes 3 times in a row, which is more than Seth has said in every episode of last season.
Yes.
That's 4 yeses. Yes,
he's excited, yes, about today's guest.
Yes, well, we're all excited about today's guest. Today's guest,
one.
We are talking to a comedy legend, best known for lines like "Kevin," "Dayo," and "My babies." Yes, that's right. We're talking to the legendary Catherine O'Hara. But before Catherine joins us, let's check in with my long-suffering, and I do mean long-suffering, producers, Albert and Jan. Guys, welcome. Welcome. Albert is joining us via computer, which is terrifying. I don't mind.
Keeping everybody safe.
You're keeping us all safe. You have a bit of a sniffle. How are you?
Not COVID, though. I did test this morning. Not COVID.
Right. Oh, I don't believe those tests anyway. I believe everyone now. If anybody coughs or sneezes near me, I hit the deck like a grenade has gone off. You had to see me at the airports. I was the last person you wanted to be seen with.
The trip sounded amazing. Was it incredible?
It was incredible. It was unbelievable. It was breathtaking. I had such Catholic guilt for the entire time because I wasn't with you, and that was painful. You know me, I always co-opt your grief.
Well, let me just say, in true Kelly and in true Guinea fashion, the largest flower arrangement, said Kelly and Mark. It was gigantic. It was the size of a Honda.
You know what we said to the flower arrangement people? I said, "I want a gingaloon size." This is what I said. A gingaloon size flower arrangement fit for an Italian funeral. And I mean, I want it low and lush and Italian. It needs to be El Grande flowers. I want all, yeah. I want the Garden of Eden delivered. Oh, did we say?
We didn't say, you know, it's,
I know, we
Albert's
didn't mention.
Father,
yes,
passed away.
Yeah. Sadly, my dad, who had Alzheimer's for a long time, has recently taken a turn after Christmas, and last Tuesday passed away. And it was one of those like pretty unbelievable moments where my brother Peter had flown in from San Francisco, and this was days after we had been sitting in the room with him. And then all of a sudden, we're all sitting in the room with him, and we watched his breath kind of slow down. And he had all of his 4 kids, his grandkids, some of his grandkids, some of them were ended up joining remotely, and his wife all just sitting there, like holding his hands and like telling him that we loved him. And it was like, you can't ask for more than that. I mean, there's, especially after seeing someone suffer for so long and watching them no longer suffering, there's an enormous sense of peace that kind of came over all of us. And it was just so powerful. And I'm just glad that he's no longer in pain. It was real. And, you know, you hear people say that all the time, "Oh, they're no longer suffering." And it just feels like a a canned response, but it's real. When you watch it happen, it's powerful.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you were all over me and all over my family and sent so much love. Sent so much love.
No, I was trying to like take a shift. You know, Italians take shifts. I think it's very similar to in the Jewish. I mean, I've been to a lot of Jewish shivas and funerals, and I always say the two religions are they're exactly the same, except for the, you know, Jesus. and you just want to take a shift. And I realize there comes a point where you could be well-intentioned taking a shift, but it puts more, it becomes a bigger pain in the ass than it needs to be, because there were a lot of cooks in that kitchen.
Well, can we speak about their kitchen? Because we came home the next night after going to Brooklyn, and when I tell you enough trays to feed everybody in the neighboring zip code arrived to the house that you guys sent, then the look on my mom's face that was so miserable all day and seeing the trays of chicken parm and pasta.
I was like, there has to be cheese on everything. Parm on everything. If this is salad, make it a salad, Parmigiana. Like, it was just like, I just know your mom, and I did not want her to like spend 1 minute like cooking or cleaning anything.
It was so, like, I have to say, because we were at the wake, and it really felt like a celebration of life. Like, sometimes you go to these things, and everybody, it's so down, and you just don't know what to say or do. And it just, you walked in, there was this great music playing. The playlist was unbelievable. At one point, I think it was I'm Too Sexy came on.
Oh, yeah, that was his jam. I made a playlist, and my brother forced me to put it on, because any wedding or any Sweet 16 or any anything, my father had to have that song played, and then it was all about him in the middle of the dance floor.
Ron.
I protested that song, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I loved it. And I love, there was a huge, huge flower bouquet of a Batman sign.
Oh, that's incredible. Oh,
and I was like, how and why and everything. And
well, he had the grandkids and they kept calling him Batman. They bought him the bat signal light, which, by the way, this does not sound morbid, we turned the light on, like, my brother right after he passed. It was quiet. My brother's like, I think you have to turn on the bat signal.
You know, it's so funny too, because I was thinking about how lucky the kids were to grow up having their grandparents. Yeah. It's such a rare blessing. You know, like, we always talk about it. My grandparents died, all of them, when I was so young that I only have sort of fleeting, tiny memories, tiny, tiny memories of them. And they're almost theoretical memories, more memories from the photographs than the actual memories. You know, I remember what was told to me about the photograph more than I remember anything else. And my kids have been so lucky. They've grown up, grown into adulthood, having their grandparents. And what a special privilege that is.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think I told Jan this, but the days leading up to it, because he'd been sleeping so much, they were like, he's not waking up. And they were all in this panic. I'm like, I know how to wake him up. So I started confessing things to him that I never told him.
That's amazing. And what did you confess?
Oh my God. I said, listen, I have never told you this. Your son's taught me how to disconnect the speedometer on the car, so you didn't know that I drove it. I said, do you remember when you took away the spare set of keys to the car? Well, I had a third set hidden in my bedroom. And the third one that I admitted, as I was doing them, I could see him like twitching a little. And the third one, I said, do you remember when you told me I needed to get 100 on my French test to get a phone in my room? And I was failing French and I got a 97, but I changed that grade to 100 and I got the phone.
That's awesome.
And that one woke him up.
That's awesome.
That's really funny.
Nothing can wake up an Italian man more than being enraged by their son who's confessing something.
Well, Albert knows about this other thing that we wanted to, news for you.
This is epic.
We have some news for you.
What's the news?
Well, season two of this podcast is definitely getting bigger and better, right?
Well, I mean, we're here.
We're bigger. We're better.
So far, Albert's our first guest, so I don't know.
Yeah, Albert's our first guest, but we're literally going to grow larger.
We are going to grow larger.
Yeah. Roz, do you want to fill her in?
What's happening, Roz?
My husband and I are expecting a baby in August.
Oh, my gosh!
We're having a podcast baby!
We're having a let's talk off camera baby.
Yeah, a baby boy.
A baby boy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I feel great. I was really tired, but now I'm in the second trimester and I'm feeling totally normal.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for
you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So we're getting bigger here.
We're getting bigger. Now I'm like looking at Roz. I'm like, nope, doesn't. You're going to do it. You're going to pull a Jan Chalet.
I mean, if I pull my sweater up there or something.
No. Let me tell you, you're going to be like Jan.
Kelly can deliver a baby. I can
deliver your baby, no problem. But Jan can carry a baby in that Hollywood way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That you can't tell she's pregnant.
You can't tell she's pregnant unless she was at 9.5 months pregnant. And unless she turned to the side, you had no idea that she was pregnant at all. You couldn't tell from the front or from the back. She had to turn sideways. And then it looked like she had taken a small basketball and put it under her shirt for a show. It looked like a Hollywood.
Like a joke.
Like a joke. I was like, that's a joke. I was like, you're faking a pregnancy.
So it's strap on.
I was like, it's weird. It's weird that you're faking a pregnancy. It's weird. But yeah, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
We've tentatively titled the baby Albie.
Well, Albert has been pushing.
I told her, come on, it's a great name.
Albert is a great name. It is a great name. Uncle Al. We could just cut to calling him Uncle Al.
He's pushing for Albie.
Some other names being considered, Roz? Can you reveal any?
No, because Sam keeps saying no to names. So if anyone has any recommendations.
Sam says no to names?
Well, he just wants, like, he likes more traditional names.
Mark said no to every name I suggested.
Yeah.
Literally every name. And I had some great names, but Mark was definitely not on board.
Any ones you didn't use that you would throw?
I loved the name Orion. Orion.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. O-R-I-O-N. Orion.
Like the...
Ooh, I love
like
that.
The space, you know.
I'm like, the constellation.
Constellation. Like outer space.
Or like the like stars.
I also like the name Jeff Bezos.
Money.
Yeah. I like the name Money. I like cash money.
We had such a hard time with the names because my husband's last name is Wiener. So like names with Wiener, it's hard. Like Cash, we love the name Cash, but Cash Wiener is like not a good look.
Cash Wiener would have been a great name for Luke though, because Luke is such a gambler.
Oh my God, he started a gambling website because of you.
He did? I'm glad he did. Now I'm going to sign up for it.
He said because of you, he started.
I'm going to sign up for it.
It's like just his picks. He's like giving out his
picks.
What's
the name of the website?
It's called layuplineup.com.
Layuplineup.com. Layuplineup.com. If you want to learn how to gamble like a professional, is he 20 yet?
He's 20.
Yeah, like a professional 20-year-old. If you want to learn how to gamble, this kid, he is, and I told him, I asked him, I said, have you seen the movie Casino? And he goes, no. And I go, okay. They made a movie about you about like 25 years ago. They made a movie about you. And the you character is played by Robert De Niro. But to be clear, he winds up running a casino. But to be clear, he is you. He is playing Luke. Like,
but I think this is a great way for him to get a job eventually, is if people see that he does this and he's good at it. Yeah.
And did he do well at the Super Bowl?
He did.
Yes,
he
I'm sure he did.
He did well at the Super Bowl.
It's so funny because, you know, Joaquin, they teach wrestling clinics in the summer, and the University of Michigan wrestlers teach the clinics. That's how they earn their money. And, you know, when Luke was telling me what he earns on – you know, bets. I didn't have the heart to tell Joaquin. I did not have the heart to tell Joaquin the amount of money Luke makes on these obscure, bizarre bets. But he really does his research.
So he does his research.
It's not like he's just betting into the abyss. Like,
yeah, he makes spreadsheets. He's like really all about the analytics. But we'll see. We'll see how he does.
He's just like Robert De Niro in Casino.
And he's loving Michigan, right, Jan?
Yes, he's loving Michigan. And his second mom and dad took him out to dinner, which was the loveliest thing. Thank you, Kelly and Mark.
We had the best time. I can't wait to do it again.
He had the best time. And I think our guest is ready.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Woo! Woo!
This is so exciting. So you wait, did I overhear that you are in your son's bedroom?
Oh, I'm in my son's, actually, it's my son's old bed. But we're sleeping in here now because our bedroom's being renovated. So there, and I just moved in here because you could hear some noise going on, construction noise going on.
Yeah, our neighbors are, there's a townhouse next door to us that's under brain-numbing, noisy construction 24 hours a day. And I just went next door and I said, I have to, I'm taping a podcast with Catherine O'Hara in about a half an hour.
Yeah,
might
who cares?
You stop? Might you stop for an hour? And they were like, oh my God, I love Schitt's Creek. Yeah, of course. I swear. They like, do you here. Hear how quiet it is? Guys, you heard it was like.
Yeah, no, they said they were stopping.
They are stopping for this podcast. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know how much luck we'll have with future guests, but hopefully we'll continue on this trend.
Get their list of favorite people and then just say.
We should ask the construction workers who they want.
Go from that.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. So, Catherine, let me just say this. You are our first guest of our second season.
Thank you.
Let's Talk Off Camera.
Thank you. Congratulations on the second season.
You are our premier episode.
Yay.
We are very excited
about
this.
Happy New Year, then.
Now, you are a good Irish, you're a good Irish Catholic girl.
I am.
You are number 6 of 7 children.
Yes. And we're all alive, thank God.
Yes. You're all alive. That
we're
is
so fortunate.
That deserves its own round of
applause. Yeah, clap for our lives.
So I'm looking here at, you know, just some of the bits and pieces of what you've done. Argyle, of course, is your latest film, and congratulations again on Argyle. Woo! Beetlejuice, Home Alone, Best in Show, SCTV, Schitt's Creek. I mean, my
iconic.
You know, it's so funny.
You
I was going to say
miss.
My favorite.
She has no misses.
My favorite, but they're all my favorite. And now you're going to join the cast of The Last of Us for season 2.
I am.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything or no?
No, I probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't. So I understand that you have a monumental birthday coming up, March 4th, I believe. And when I look at the number, I think that's not a possible number.
One shouldn't live that long? Is that what you mean?
No. No, one should live that long. But when I think of you, I think of somebody at least 20 years younger than this number.
Yeah.
So
do I, but I'm not. I'm about to be 70. You can say it. Because it'll 70. Show up anyway. It shows up on the day, and I don't get it because it'll say...
I've never been hotter.
No, I know. You're hotter than ever. You're more famous than ever. You're more gorgeous than ever. You're chicer than ever. You're more successful than ever. Is that what you anticipated 70 would be like when you got into show business? Did you think, and when I'm 70, I'm really going to take off?
It was really, completely thought out. The whole thing was a plan, a master plan. No, I can't believe I still get to be ridiculous on camera and get paid for it. No, I'm really fortunate. It all started, you know, being really lucky and getting into Second City as my first job, because those are the people who I'm still getting to work with, who still hire me.
Right.
Eugene's given me lots of jobs. Thank you, Eugene. Yeah. So I don't know. No, that's where I really got my foot in the door. And I've been living off of that training and those people since then. That was the most fortunate thing for me.
You know, I told you for a long time, I thought that you and Eugene Levy were actually a couple in real life, and I'm assuming that I'm not alone in that.
Yeah.
You did in fact date. Did you not date Eugene Levy for a minute?
For a minute. We tried, for a minute, because everyone at Second City Theater,
you were dating all of
that.
Them? Did you all date each other?
No. I dated Dan Aykroyd for a while. And he
you
was
did?
Fun.
I would think that's so
I did,
fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was he more fun than Eugene? Who would you say was more fun, Dan or Eugene?
Eugene's more serious. Eugene's more serious in person. Uh-huh. I mean, funny. But
yeah, funny, but serious.
In public would be more serious. Yeah.
Right.
Danny would just do crazy stuff out in public, and I would stand there and go, oh, he's kidding.
Like, what would he do?
Well, if he couldn't get a table quick enough at a restaurant, he would go and lie down on the floor in between tables.
So
did that a couple of times.
Albert, we have to try that next time we go out to a restaurant. We're going to lay down on the floor and see if it that happens.
It definitely worked. They got him to a table as quickly as they could. But, you know, there's nothing sexier, I think, than sharing humor and laughing together, making each other laugh.
Funny people are the sexiest.
Yeah. So you're doing that and you think, oh, we must be meant to be together in some way. So that's why I say everybody try dating everybody. You know, for a minute, you know, I'm really glad it didn't work out with Eugene and me, because I don't think we'd have this professional relationship if our dating had gone anywhere. Luckily, it didn't.
One of my all-time favorites was the two of you in Mighty Wind. I just thought, like, your characters, I know that it's shot documentary style, but I truly believed that he was like this tortured artist and you were this like Joan Baez. Like, I was just watching these two characters. And like, before you go into a take, you know, would Eugene ever say, remember that time we dated at Second City?
You mean to get into the scene?
Yes, to get yourselves into a scene.
No, there's very, very little discussion before we would do these movies. Like, you're working from an outline, which has everything that the movie ends up being, except the dialogue. You know, so all the dialogue is improvised. And in that case, we had to record songs ahead of time and write songs and record songs. But otherwise, you know, no, you don't really plan a lot. And you just kind of show up and feed each other your histories. And my first day on that, actually, on Mighty Wind, I was by myself. And in the outline, it said, Mickey describes the old days, who they worked with, where they worked, she and Mitch together. It was like, Mickey tells everything. was the right. And I was so scared. And I made reams of notes, and I got to meet... I got to talk to Sylvia Tyson of Ian and Tyson. I got to talk to from Mamas and Papas. Oh, God bless her. Tell me her name.
Michelle Phillips.
Sorry, Michelle Phillips, for my memory. I got to meet with her. You know, so I made reams of notes and hopefully, and, you know, just hoping something would come out that would make sense. But that was hard because I was by myself just talking to camera. But when you're with someone else, especially someone you love and respect, which is basically everybody in those movies, you know, you just sort of relax into whatever they're offering. And of course you try to give them something too, you know, but it's a real scary, but lovely, fun game.
But what if somebody says a line to you, it's so unexpected and it's so out of left field. Do you lose it? Do you break up? Do you ever like ruin a take by laughing?
We really try not to, because even on a normal shoot where it's scripted, there's still the delivery of each line is different, right?
Right.
Something new happens, hopefully, with every delivery, every take. But when you're improvising, you really, every line was a surprise because everybody was improvising. And there was very little repetition between takes. And so anyway, sorry, what I meant to say is you don't want to sabotage that moment, because somebody is coming up with something really great and you want it to stay on film. You know, if you can laugh. If it makes sense, you'll laugh in character. But what Eugene did on Waiting for Guffin, which was the first movie we did improvised together, Eugene would just lower himself out of the scene. We were at a car dealership, and Chris Guest was teaching us how to dance, like that sad, jerky dance that he did. And Eugene couldn't handle it. And Eugene just literally, figuratively, absolutely lowered himself just out of frame and crawled off and then came back when he felt like it was safe. I did it too on Waiting for Guffman. We were at the dinner table and I was playing drunk and I almost laughed at some point and I just put my head down under the table like I was going to pick something up. You just have to, because you don't want to sabotage the scene for others.
It's funny. I remember watching Best in Show and you and Eugene are sitting next to each other and you know, you say, I was saying, come on, let's dance. And he said, I have two left feet. I thought he was kidding. And he goes,
I wasn't kidding.
I was born with two left feet.
That's great. And
every time Mark and I watch these movies, he goes, the fact that they don't have a script and they just come up with this stuff is incredible. I wouldn't have been able to keep it together.
No. At the end of a take,
at the end of a take, I often accused John Michael Higgins of writing stuff ahead of time. And he said, how would I know what they're going to say? I couldn't possibly write what my response. You know? But let me tell you the truth, though, about the shoes. The shoes had to be made. So wow. I knew, we knew in the script outline, we knew that we had to tell the story of the two
that
left
he had
feet,
two left feet.
Because it's important later in the movie, right? It's,
yes, it is important later on. Yes.
Yeah, you know, Ruth's shoes, they made the shoes for Eugene. So that they were actually two left foot shoes, but his right foot fit into them. But then how we told the story was our choice. That was improvised. How we decided to tell the story. And I think that was our first scene together in that movie.
It was incredible. Yeah. It's like a showstopper for me. And I think I've said this to you before. I've watched that movie easily 100 times and I'll watch it 100 more times. I could watch it again and again. Did you ever pitch an idea to Christopher Guest? Like, what if...
I know you know what you're asking me. I made the mistake of telling this publicly. And now I'm going to do it again. Thank you.
Do it again. I know what I'm buying my mom friends for Mother's Day. Fiori joggers. Jan is obsessed. My stylist Audrey is obsessed. So I know they're a sure hit. And if any one of my family or friends are listening to this podcast, hint, hint, these would be a great gift for me. They're designed with their dream knit stretch fabric, which I love because they're so ridiculously comfortable, but yet look so good. By the way, they're not just for women. I'm ordering them right now for Mark because Father's Day is right around the corner. No matter how you stay active, running, swimming, yoga, or just running weekend errands, Vuori is for you. Vuori is offering Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa listeners 20% off your first purchase. Get some of the most comfy and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/off-camera. That's Vuori.com/off-camera. You'll also enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/off-camera and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Malojo, my production company, is such a small business, so when we hire someone, it makes a huge impact. And Albert, I know you wear so many hats over there, you might not have the time or the resources to hire, but LinkedIn changes all of that. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. So, Albert, the next time we're hiring, if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. We got Roz, so we know it works. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/off-camera. That's linkedin.com/off-camera to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Did you ever pitch an idea to Christopher Guest and he just shuts it down?
Chris would never say no to anything. Never, never. You know, because we shot for, you know, I think 90 hours cut down to 90 minutes. So there's a lot of stuff there that no one will ever see again. And that's okay. But yeah, we were at the dog show with our dogs. And if you look around the room, these handlers were really serious about getting their dogs ready and relaxing their dogs and making them look beautiful. My sister, Mary Margaret, is a great singer, songwriter, and actor. And years ago, she was in a band and they played someplace in Montreal or something. And this woman who owned the bar came to the dressing room, brought them beers after the show, and brought her little toy poodle or whatever who was in her arms. And the dog was kind of nervous around people, and she was handling it in a way that relaxed.
Handling it?
Handling the dog in a way that relaxed the dog. So we're doing this scene where Eugene and I are, you know, sitting there on the day of shooting and we're getting ready to shoot our scene. So I said, Eugene, you think, okay, this happened with Mary Margaret, the bit, and it's real. Do you think, what if I did that to relax? Eugene just looked at me. No, Catherine, you can't. And I said, that's insane. I said, no, but it really happened. And, you know, it relaxed the dog and it's before a show and the dog might be, no, please, Catherine. He goes, you might want to run that by Chris. And you never had to run anything by Chris. You just get it on film and he uses it or he doesn't, right?
Right.
He said, just run it by Chris. I really think I have to? Yeah, you better. So I did. And Chris, who's never said no to anything and never called the movie his movie ever that I know of, in the four movies that I was involved, said, no, Catherine, you will not do that to a dog in my movie. So why do you make me tell this? You know I'm going to tell.
It's an amazing story, though. It's an incredible story. So and by the way, why are they getting mad at you? I mean, you weren't the owner of the poodle. You were just going to recreate artistically what the real person who owned, you know, Mary Margaret's friend from the bar. You, you're not the weirdo. You're just playing the weirdo.
You know, not every idea is a good idea, Kelly.
What's fascinating to me is I've watched those dog shows, and to me, I was so fascinated at the way, you know, the mockumentary actually got it. It was, you know, you always see the woman running with her giant hound minus a support bra in a business skirt suit. Always. I mean, it is 100% you are going to see that person in the Westminster dog show. That is just, I kept thinking they had to use, these have to be real people. These can't be, did you get real dog show people in that movie or was everybody an actor?
Oh no, everyone except us was for real. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So no, they
were
all dogs.
In fact, when we were in line, a couple of the handlers said to me, why does your dog win? They wanted their dog to win. Write your own movie.
Do you ever use any of your family members as the base of your character in any of the movies or television shows you've been in?
I think I played my mom over and over and over at Second City, you know, when we improvised. And I'll draw on my sister Maureen. My sister Maureen's quite a character. She's just really strong and tough and funny. I mean, really feminine and lovely, but I'll think of her sometimes when I want to be stronger in a scene or, you know, just more interesting than myself.
And more interesting than yourself. That's very funny because I think you're so interesting. I think you're the most interesting person. Is it true that your brother dated Gilda Radner?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yeah, they met at a theater in Toronto, Global Village. We lived out the suburbs and they were downtown Toronto. And they started dating. This is before she did Godspell. You know, she would come, they'd come home for dinner to my mom and dad's house, our house, you know, on their dark nights. And it was so fun. She'd get my mom and dad improvising. And she was just lovely. She was as lovely as you would think she would be. You would not be disappointed if you'd. Did you ever meet her?
No, I never got to meet her. Oh. I mean, sadly, I wish. I found her and still find her to be a once-in-a-lifetime comedic genius.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, I did not watch SNL religiously. We had one television in the house and we really had to fight for it. And, you know, Saturday night, my dad was a bus driver, so Saturday night was his night with the TV. So it was mostly sports. But in a while, whenever I could tune in to SNL, she just mesmerized me. I thought she was magic. I really did.
Yeah.
And Jane, you know, all those ladies, I just really found them to be brilliant, brilliant and funny.
Yeah, great cast.
A great cast. You've impersonated a lot of people over the years, especially when you were in SCTV. Katharine Hepburn, Brooke Shields. You know, when you impersonate celebrities, sometimes you fear bumping into the celebrity, you know.
Not when you're out in Toronto. We always figured we were in a vacuum. We didn't even think about people watching it, I don't think. We couldn't. We were trying to make each other laugh. And then, you know, my dad was worried that I was, you know, taking a really bad route in life, you know, thinking I was going to be an actor. But when his friends at, you know, his coworkers at work were talking about the show, then he thought, oh, this is legitimate. It's okay. She's going to be okay. You know, we thought the same way. We were just kind of doing the show for ourselves. So no, I didn't think at that time about meeting anybody. I did hear years later that Morgan Fairchild said, next time she does me, she should talk to me first. How many dinner ones for a minute? And then I got a part in this movie, Heartburn, starring Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson.
Of course.
And at the wrap party, they had, you know, a bunch of stuff running on some monitors around the room. And they had John Belushi playing Jack Nicholson. And they had a clip of me playing Meryl Streep. And she, of a great sense of humor, came up to me and said, "I saw what you did to me." I love Meryl Streep.
I do too. She's the best. She really does have a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's great and hilarious. Yep. She can do no wrong.
By the way, Roz, you should know this. Roz, one of our producers here, is expecting her first baby. And Heartburn is the God movie bless. That got me through. Like, I came home from the hospital, I put on Heartburn, and I cried for like 6 hours. And then I felt so much better.
Really? Is the crying will actually relieve postpartum depression?
I don't think I had like clinical postpartum depression that needs, you know, actual medical intervention. But you know how you need the hormones and they're all over the place. And I just watched that movie and I had a good cry and I felt like a new person.
Aww. I remember seeing men cry. Yeah.
At Heartburn?
Yeah. I remember watching it on an airplane and seeing men cry.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah.
Tell me about Beetlejuice. How did you get cast in that?
I'll tell you, I was supposed to meet with Tim Burton in Burbank, and I lived in Toronto, so I flew to Burbank finally. And you remember the old Thomas Guide? It was a big fat book. That was what you used as a map before GPS.
Oh my
GPS.
God, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah. I found a Burbank Avenue or something somewhere in Orange County. Or
you went to the wrong Burbank?
I drove for like an hour and a half, 2 hours before cell phones. Finally, like pulled over at a phone booth, I think, and phoned my agent, said, "What kind is this guy really connected to show business? Because he's so far away from anything that I know about show business in Los Angeles." And she said, "Where are you?" "Oh my God, no, it's Burton." No, told me where to go. I got there. There was a note outside the door, a little note saying, "I'm sorry, I couldn't wait any longer. Tim Burton, maybe some other time."
Oh my God.
That's
gosh.
How I got the job, by not auditioning.
Really? You think that was it?
Yeah. I bet if I'd auditioned or met him, I wouldn't have gotten it.
So you hadn't gotten the job. You, like, it wasn't an offer and he wanted to just meet with you to tell you what was expected.
No.
This was like a chemistry feeling.
Yeah. Ditch that one. Dodge that one.
Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
So what's he like, Tim Burton?
Oh, he's great. You know, he was just on the second Beetlejuice, which we just did in the summer.
Oh my gosh. So exciting.
I know he really wanted to get the old feeling back, you know, because when he did the first Beetlejuice, I think they wouldn't even release it until they saw how Pee Wee did. That was his first, I believe. Right.
Right.
Pee Wee Herman, God bless him. Uh-huh. He was a newcomer. He was a beginner. He was just starting out and he didn't have all that pressure on him that he now has. He's not he wasn't the Tim Burton that we all know and love. And he really just wanted that feeling back of, you know, just playing and nobody looking over his shoulder. And he really got it. And he was in that same state of mind, real free and fun. And he's really funny and a great laugher. And it was just it was loose and fun and lovely. And Michael Keaton was so happy to be there. And Jenna. It's so cool. Jenna Ortega, such a cool young woman.
Oh, good. Wow. Oh, that's, I'm
great.
Glad to hear
Winona
that.
Winona looks exactly the same.
Yeah, she's just.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a really loose, fun set.
It's funny because I saw Tim Burton once in person at Balthazar.
Yeah.
We were, you know the restaurant Balthazar downtown in New York City?
Yeah,
I
love
you know,
it.
They have these like booth tables it. And our booths were kind of like connected. Yeah. And Mark was like, "You love Tim Burton. Just tell him you're a fan." And I go, "Oh, I could never. You know, I never want to bother anybody. I never, never, ever want to bother anybody, you know, in show business when they're not working. I just feel like it's their private time." And I'm staring at him. And in that time that I'm staring at Tim Burton, Pierce Brosnan approaches my table and says, "Hi, Kelly. Pierce Brosnan, nice to see you out and about." And Mark said, that's great. He goes, Pierce Brosnan had no problem coming over and saying hi to you.
Exactly.
That's different. He's a movie star. He's allowed to approach me. He can go talk to Tim Burton. I'm just like a talk show host. I'm not allowed to leave this booth.
Wait, tell me you changed your mind.
I didn't. I never approached him.
You didn't talk to him.
Aww. I didn't. I never did. But I'm such a fan of his work, and I wanted to just tell him that. But I was too chicken shit to do it, so I didn't do it.
Oh, I had the best. Can I tell you the best one, though? I was in Trader Joe's, and a couple came up to me, and the guy said, hi. Hi. And I go, hi.
Hi.
Honey, look who it is. Hi. And I go, oh, hi, to both of them. They're both standing there just smiling. I said, how are you doing? Good. How are you? I'm sorry. Do I know you? You don't remember? No? Well, we don't forget. What? Give me a hint. And then I finally say, I'm an actor. No. Okay, I can't tell you how long this went on. I don't remember. But finally, they thought they remembered me from an experience we all had as... in a club or organization called Sex Positive LA.
No.
Oh my God.
Stop it.
It's like my nightmare.
I'm telling the truth.
God. What is wrong with people?
I hope my double's good at what she does.
Oh God. You know what? You're so Canadian. You are so nice. I would have been like, fuck off. Leave me alone. After the first 18 minutes, I would have definitely walked away and said, we don't know each other. You have me mistaken for someone. So this is where I get curious.
Of who that was?
I get curious as to who they think you are. Yeah. No. Who were they with that looks like you?
Yeah.
That's what I
want
to know.
That's all I can say. Whoever she is, I hope she's good.
Yeah. I mean, well, they seemed thrilled. Right? I mean, no.
Yeah, you wouldn't tell them to FO because they're looking at you like we had the best time of our lives.
They wanted a second bite of the apple.
Here at Trader Joe's in the produce department.
Holding their $2 chuck.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Did you? Yeah. Do you? Please tell me Deo works its way into Beetlejuice too. Please, please tell me Deo and that
Deo
song.
Is in the movie.
Deo's in the movie. Do you think that character was your first crack at Moira Rose?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I'm playing the same character all the time.
I disagree. Yeah. I don't think you ever play the same character, but I feel like Delia is the early Moira Rose.
Oh no, they're definitely related too in their believing that they're really talented and others just don't see it. You know, that really yearning to be appreciated, to be seen, to be famous, to be, you know, that kind of a bit of desperation there. Yeah. And feeling they're artists. They really think they're artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's definitely a big common factor,
you know,
between them.
The speech pattern that Moira Rose has is my favorite. I don't know if you follow any of the Schitt's Creek fan accounts, but I do. And to me, they're just endlessly entertaining. They're so fun. And I love when they do Moira Rose vernacular. Yeah.
The vocabulary was the best. That was so fun. You know, Daniel and the writers would write me great, you know, expressions and, you know, disgruntled pelican and whatever. And they would, and then they would write, you know, great vocabulary. But I also had these lovely books, Foyle's Flavery, with arcane words that nobody's ever saying. And it's so great that I could fit those in, you know, put them in wherever I wanted. But there's a guy, and I'm terrible, I can't remember anyone's name. It's either Jason or Justin, who does Moira Rose on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
And he's crazy good.
Yeah.
His wigs aren't great, but his dialogue, and he's a great writer. He writes really funny dialogue for Moira. And he's the one person who gets that the Moira voice is completely inconsistent. It's all over the place because I really didn't know what I was doing.
It comes and goes, but it is like when she, I feel like Moira, she has an aristocracy to her when she is passionate about something, and then as soon as she's dispassionate,
right?
it goes away.
I wish I put that much thought into it.
but she's got like in a almost she doesn't close her mouth if she's not feeling. I'm trying to do you to you, which is a disaster. But I'm just telling you what I
That's
see
good.
And hear.
That's good. No, the soft.
It's the softness of the mouth. Have you watched every episode?
No, I don't think I have. I tried to when they first came out, but it was almost like I didn't want to get caught doing it. Like I'm sitting watching what? My show, the show that I'm in. I think I've seen everyone, but I actually kind of like to think that I hope I haven't, because I'd like to see some for the first time. But, you know, they're like diaries too now. You know, you watch them and you remember the day and shooting and all the fun of that. Yeah, that last day with David and Patrick's wedding was so emotional. I had to cry over and over, and it was the easiest thing to do because I was looking around at the whole cast was there in the church. The town hall made into a chapel. And the whole crew was there, and it was the last thing we shot.
So everybody was actually emotional.
Yeah. So it made for easy flowing tears for me.
Did Moira?
You did a great job, by the way. You did a great job in that outfit.
Oh, for Halloween?
Oh, you did an amazing job. Yeah, wow.
Thank you. By the way, I want you to understand something, that we typically do all of our Halloween characters with a certain amount of disdain and hatred. And, you know, we're always like, I hate this. Or complete, like, unknowing. I'm like, what am I supposed to be? Like, I will walk out there going, what is this? I don't understand what I am. And they're like, we'll just show you a video. With Schitt's Creek, I was like, I've got this. I know exactly what you want me to say and how you want me to say. It was the one time that we actually knew
That's great.
What we were trying to do.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to make you proud on the off chance that you saw it.
Oh, you did. Thank you. I was very flattered.
Is Moira based on anyone you know? Or is she an amalgamation of women you've met in show business?
Yeah, I'd say an amalgamation. Although, you know, I used to know a woman who was married to a very successful guy, and she had a way of speaking that just told you she wanted to be different from anyone else, and she wanted to, have her own very, very interesting separate identity from her husband's famous identity, much more successful identity. And she just had a really interesting way of putting sentences together, you know, sounding like a beautiful alien. And I thought, wow, that's great if I could pull that off. And she was so feminine. And I often, you know, I just didn't want to be arguing with Eugene, with Johnny all the time. And I wanted to be soft and feminine. So I was thinking of her. I also thought of people like who really do want to present themselves and deny where they came from. You know, so it was fun for me to think, even though it never really came out, you know, that Moira actually lived. My idea was Moira actually lived in a small town like this. So she was more threatened by going back to this kind of life than anyone.
Yeah,
had the hardest time ever accepting it. Yeah. Yeah. Because she came from that and she had built this whole new identity and she wasn't going to back off from it, you know?
Yeah, it's really smart that you said that. And I think that's why there was so much richness to her and so many layers to her character. That character on paper could have very easily been a very one-note, one-dimensional character. And she was the most layered and interesting character. And in a career of interesting characters, she really is like the cherry on the sundae. She's just like an extraordinary person that I just loved so much. I loved watching her. I mean, the entire ensemble, all of you together, I was just like,
why
can't they move into the Motel 6 in Manhattan and be our neighbors?
Yeah, what happened to that idea, Johnny? And wasn't he supposed to do make new career out of turning motels into hip little places to stay?
Yes.
Which is happening in the world, of course. Yeah, I hope we do a movie. That would be nice. But let me just say, too, you know, my character, a lot of it came from the script, you know. So on paper, it was interesting. It just, it's so lovely to work with people with whom you're allowed to collaborate. And Eugene and Daniel, you know, collaborated from the very beginning on what I would look like. And they were open, you know, when I told Eugene I wanted to have a, you know, wild vocabulary and possibly have an inconsistent way of speaking, he said, yeah, let's see how that goes. And he didn't say no. He was everything, you know. Or what if I wear a different wig in every seat? Yeah, Catherine, we'll look into that. Yeah. They made it happen. They made it happen.
It's incredible. It really is. I love her so much. We really appreciate you doing our humble podcast.
Oh, I do, and I'm honored.
I've got to tell you, I am looking forward to season two of The Last of Us.
Thanks, me too.
I really am. Yeah. I can't wait.
Oh, it's such a good show.
And I'm looking forward to the Schitt's Creek movie. And I'm looking forward to another Christopher Guest movie starring Meryl Streep as perhaps your jealous rival who comes back to town for something. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Your improv comics on the comedy circuit, and she comes back, your arch nemesis.
I want to love her, though. I'm sorry. I should say yes and. Yes, and we make up quickly so I could just love her.
Yes. You could be lovers. You could be lovers, former lovers.
We become
lovers.
A team.
Yes, yes.
And improv team.
Improv team. Anyway, it's been a pleasure and a blessing having you as our first guest on season Woo! 2 of Let's Talk Off Camera. Woo! Catherine O'Hara, everybody.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm honored. Thank you.
Thank you. Woo!
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Woo! Bye.
So good.
I had dinner with Dan Aykroyd once. Mark and I had dinner with Dan Aykroyd and Donna Dixon. And it was so fun.
I mean,
Michael used to order Ghostbusters toys on eBay. Spoiler alert. Michael used to order things on eBay back before it was really a thing to. So he got this bag of Ghostbuster toys. Dan Aykroyd came down to the apartment and he signed all of his Ghostbusters toys for him.
Stop.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That's amazing.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Michael only knew how lucky mm-hmm. he is through all the stuff that he has. My God.
So we just spoke to the great Catherine O'Hara.
I mean, a genius.
She really is.
She really is.
She's so likable, too. You know, I know her a little bit in real life because she's really good friends with Barry and Sweetie Sonnenfeld.
Oh.
So we all sat together at Chloe, their daughter's wedding out in Palm Springs at the Merv Griffin Estate. And it sounds very bougie, but it was actually it sounds like so bougie, and it's like way less bougie than it sounds. But it was like such a fun night, and we were all seated together at the table. It was like we were the adults, and like then there was a bunch of young people, but we were at the same table, and it was so fun to be with Catherine and Beau. They're just a lovely couple and really sweet and fun.
She's amazing. I can't get over her. Picturing her in Trader Joe's with this couple that think that they had a three-way with her is got to be the best thing ever.
Well, you know, that happened to me at a hotel in Washington.
What happened?
This guy that was checking us into the hotel, we had never been to this hotel before. Right. And he says, welcome back, Mrs. Consuelos. And I said, oh, I've never been here before, but thanks. And he's like, okay, well, don't worry, your secret's safe with me. And he winks, and I'm like, no, I've never been here before. I mean, this is my first time here. It's a lovely hotel. And he goes, okay. And I was like, no, you don't have to whisper. I've never been here before. And he goes, I understand. And I go, no, there's nothing to understand. And so then I was like, did you ever work at the Waldorf Astoria? Because the only other time I've been to Washington, that's where I stayed. And he goes, I did work there. And I was like, oh, great. And he was like, what year? And he goes, what year was that? And I said, 1992. And he was like, oh, I was only 8 years old then. And I was like, I don't know what you're, then I don't know what you're talking about. But he was convinced and stayed convinced that I had been there before. And apparently I was pretty freaky deaky the last time I was at this hotel.
I love it. I love that story.
We're going to say goodbye.
We are. We're saying goodbye. My gosh. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us so much for this first episode of Let's Talk Off Camera. Don't forget to join us next week for Leslie Bibb.
Yeah.
See you then. Bye-bye. Woo-hoo! Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa is a production of Melojo Productions with help from Goat Rodeo. Our theme song is Follow Me from APM Music. From Melojo, our team is Kelly Ripa, Mark Consuelos, Albert Bianchini, Jan Chalet, Devin Schneider, Michael Halpern, Jacob Small, Roz Therian, Seth Gronquist, and Julia Desch from Goat Rodeo. Our team is Kara Schillen, Megan Nadolski, Max Johnston, Isabel Kirby McGowan, and Rebecca Seidel. Additional sound design by Terrence Bernardo. This show is powered by Stitcher.